वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 8, entitled The Lord Slays the King of the Demons. And today we're on text number 6. Please repeat. Krudasya yasya kampante trayo lokaha saheshvaraha tasya me bhitavan mudha shasanam kim valo tyaga krudhasya yasya kampante krudhasya yasya kampante trayo loka saheshwaraha Trayo loka saheshvaraha Tasya me bhitavan mudha Tasya me bhitavan mudha Shasanam kim balo tyaga Shasanam kim balo tyaga Krudasya yasya kampante Trayo loka saheshwaraha Tasya me bhitavan mudha Shasanam kim balo tyaga Krudasya yasya kampante Trayo loka saheshwara Tasya me bhitavan mudha Shasanam kim balo tyaga Ladies, krudhasya yasya kampante trayo loka saheshwaraha tasya me bhitavan mudha kimbalo tyaga krudhasya yasya kampante Trayo loka saheshwaraha Tasya me bhitavan mudha Shasanam kim balo tyaga Krudhasya
When angered
Yasya
He who
Kampante
Tremble
Traya loka
The three worlds,
Saha Ishvaraha,
with their leaders,
Tasya,
of that,
Me,
of me,
Hiranyakashipu, Abhitavat, without fear. Muddha, rascal. Shasanam, ruling order. Kim, what? Bala, strength. Atyaga, have overstepped. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. My son Prahlad, you rascal, you know that when I am angry, all the planets of the three worlds tremble, along with their chief rulers. By whose power has a rascal like you become so impudent that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you? Please repeat. My son Prahlad, you rascal, you know that when I am angry, all the planets of the three worlds tremble, along with their chief rulers. By whose power has a rascal like you become so impudent that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you? Purport. The relationship between a pure devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is extremely relishable. A devotee never claims to be very powerful himself. Instead, he fully surrenders to the lotus feet of Krishna, being confident that in all dangerous conditions, Krishna will protect his devotee. Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita 9:31, Konteya pratyajanehi name bhakta pranashyati. O son of Kunti, declare boldly that my devotee never perishes. The Lord requested Arjuna to declare this instead of declaring it himself, because sometimes Krishna changes his view, and therefore people might not believe him. Thus Krishna asked Arjuna to declare that a devotee of the Lord is never vanquished. Hiranyakashipu was perplexed about how his 5-year-old boy could be so fearless that he did not care for the order of his very great and powerful father. A devotee cannot execute the order of anyone except the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the position of a devotee. Hiranyakashipu could understand that this boy must have been very powerful, since the boy did not heed his orders. Hiranyakashipu asked his son, Kim Bala, how have you overcome my order? By whose strength have you done this? Om Gyan Tmirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Kam Guru Diva Chalam Pangam Mangai Tigrim Yadgivatam Ham Vande Sri Gurum Dina Tarunam. My son Prahlad, you rascal, you know that when I am angry, all the planets of the three worlds tremble along with their chief rulers. By whose power has a rascal like you become so impudent that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you? So we're continuing here, hearing from Hiranyakashipu, who was quite upset. And Srila Prabhupada begins the purport definitively. It's very interesting. His first comment is the relationship between a pure devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is extremely relishable. Which is and as Prabhupada points out here, in such a definitive way, obviously there's great realization behind such a statement, that the relationship between Krishna and his devotees, his dear devotees, is very special. And it's very relishable. And to hear it, I mean, I can say so many things or some other old man can say so many things. People are saying so many things in the world nowadays, but who cares for them, right? Who cares what this person says or that person? But when it comes from the pure devotee of the Lord, it's of a different flavor. It's a whole different experience because there's realization behind it. So when Prabhupada states here that the relationship between a pure devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is extremely relishable, it's of a different experience, something beyond what common people can understand. Just as in the verse here, and Prabhupada points out here in the purport that Hiranyakasipu was quite perplexed. How is it that Prahlad is so fearless? But the fact is that the relationship between the devotee and the pure devotee and the Lord is a very relishable and in many cases confidential. So much so that even the Lord comes himself. The Lord himself is thinking, what is it that my devotees find so attractive about me? Or what is it that they're really experiencing? The Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how thinking in this way, the Lord appears in his extremely merciful form as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience this relationship that Srila Prabhupada is making point about. Because the Lord also wants to experience that same flavor, that same mellow that's there between loved ones. We all search for that, actually, in the material world. People are seeking that perfect relationship where you feel comfort and security, etc., etc. People are working so hard in the material world to develop that, but in reality, it's not possible in the material plane. Try as we may with this thing or that thing, it always falls short and is disappointing. But the relationship between the Lord and his devotee are those relationships which are based on spiritual reasons is of a different flavor. And the Shastra explains that there are many forms of the Lord. Krishna appears unlimited in unlimited forms. We understand that from the Bhagavatam. There are descriptions of how Krishna appeared in so many different attractive forms. But the supreme form is the form of Shamsundar. Yam Shamsundar Machintya Guna Swarupam. The Brahma Samhita explains how the devotees of the Lord, the pure devotees, how they see in their heart of hearts this beautiful Shamsundar form. How it's so attractive that there's no other interest. And it's also described that there are many abodes within the universe, and the Lord appears in so many places. Right? We can go to Badrinath, or we can go to London, or we can go to Australia, we can go so many places. The Lord appears in so many different places, but the supreme abode is described as Mathura, because there at Mathura the Lord appeared and engaged in a wonderful, loving pastimes with his most intimate associates. Again, it comes back to a relationship between the personality of Godhead and his devotees. So he appeared and enacted wonderful transcendental pastimes in Vrindavan and Govardhan and Radhakund. Mathura is described as the topmost abode. And how we can engage in meditating on so many things, but to meditate or to focus one's mind on the youthful form of the personality of Godhead is the topmost form of meditation. Again, it all of this centers around developing a relationship with the personality of Godhead. And the topmost mellow is that conjugal relationship, or that relationship of prema bhakti. So, again, it comes back full circle to developing a loving relationship with the personality of Godhead, which the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes as eternally established within the heart. Right? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabanai. That pure loving devotion is it's eternally established in the heart. And it's not by And it's not gained by any other process or any other source. It's not that we can engage in some karmic activity or jnana or some mystic yoga. It's already there within the heart. And when that heart is purified by the process of hearing and chanting, just as, again, Prahlad is such a prime example of it, because of his hearing and chanting, his heart was sufficiently purified. Just as Lord Chaitanya comments, Chaita Darpana Marjanam, in the Kali Yuga, the process for purifying oneself and awakening, because again, we're trying to awaken that loving relationship with the Lord, that process to awaken is chanting, hearing and chanting. And when it's done properly, then the living entity, living being, awakens. And that awakening process or development of prema bhakti, there's a very nice comment by Lord Chaitanya on the Shikshastika prayers, in which he describes that the natural symptom of that awakening of Krishna consciousness is humility. Just as here again, Prabhupada points out in the purport, the devotee never claims to be very powerful by himself. So that is a natural symptom of someone who has is developing properly in Krishna consciousness, that there is a natural humility, that Lord Chaitanya comments that I'm not a devotee, that neither do I have a drop of love. And this is, again, something that develops as a result of engaging in proper devotional service. Srila Prabhupada points out here in the purport further that not only does the devotee think himself powerless, but he fully surrenders to the lotus feet of the Lord. And is confident that in all dangerous conditions, Krishna will protect his devotee. The Bhagavatam describes the Narayana Parak Sarve, that the devotees, those who are solely engaged in devotional service, they never fear any condition. Narayana Parak Sarve Nakutaschana Bibhyati. That because they're so sold out, they're so absorbed in the service to the personality of Godhead, whatever condition they may be in, whether it's illness, whether it's poverty, or whether it's wealth. Sometimes you see how the mind may flutter in these conditions. Well, I'm ill, I can't execute my devotional service today. For whatever reason, my mind is not peaceful. Or sometimes the material conditions are not ideal. Well, I needed this, I need that. Or even sometimes we may, Krishna may give us a great opulence and we balk or hesitate with the idea. No, actually, whatever condition Krishna provides, whether it's again illness or poverty or wealth, we very happily engage these things because we're solely dependent on the personality of Godhead. And there's a very nice verse in the Ishopanishad, Agne Naya Supate Raye Asman, Vishvani Deva Vayunani Vidvan. It's a very beautiful verse in which the devotee is praying that, O Lord, powerful as fire, I offer all my obeisances, falling on the ground at your lotus feet. Please lead me on the right path to you, to reach you. Very instructive. Because it's just like when we offer obeisances to the deities, we're acknowledging our dependence on them, on the spiritual master, to pull us out of this miserable condition of material life. And lead us on the right path. That path, of course, is a devotional life. And engaging in Krishna's service. The rest of the verse reads that, what is that? What is the second half of that verse? Know all that I have done in the past. Krishna knows within the heart. He's situated in the heart. He knows how we've been engaged, how we're engaging ourselves. So Krishna knows, so the devotee is praying, you know all that I've done in the past. Therefore, please free me from my sinful reactions. And so that there will be no hindrance in my execution. So, because the devotees are totally dependent on the personality of Godhead, as Prabhupada points out here, Krishna protects his devotee. And being confident that Krishna will do that, the devotees are fully dependent. They're surrendering themselves. But Prabhupada points out here that Krishna is encouraging or requesting Arjuna to declare this instead of himself, because sometimes the Lord may change his mind. This is very interesting, that Krishna is God, therefore he can change his mind whenever he likes. Just like an important person, and he may make certain edicts, but when he feels like it, he can change his mind. He can change the policy. We're going to do this now because they're supremely powerful. So Krishna is God, so he can make his own rules. But when his devotee says something, Krishna is so connected, so obliged to his devotee that he feels compelled or obliged to fulfill that request or that statement. It's like in the example of Hiranyakashipu, that Lord Brahma gave certain benedictions and how to fulfill that. So, and at the same time, fulfill his mission of protecting his devotee. So the Lord has to, he empowers Lord Brahma to give certain benedictions, but at the same time he appears in a very extraordinary form as Lord Nrisimhadev. So he fulfills all of these needs. So the Lord can change his mind when he feels like it, when he feels fit, the time is right. But when the devotee says something about the personality of Godhead, the Lord feels much more obliged and compelled to fulfill that. Thus Krishna asked Arjuna to declare that a devotee of the Lord is never vanquished. And of course, this is for common people, this is very difficult to understand. Just as here, Hiranyakashipu was perplexed how this 5-year-old boy could be so fearless. So again, the relationship between the personality of Godhead and his devotee, it's not understood by common people. Just as Krishna, when he performs his extraordinary or super extraordinary pastimes, his devotee, and which are difficult to say the least. Of course, Krishna says, "Janma karma chame divyam." If you can understand a little bit about those pastimes, so in the same way, the activities and pastimes of his devotees are also very difficult to appreciate, very difficult to understand. Of course, that's not an excuse for someone, because some unscrupulous people, they may use this as an excuse to perform some immoral or irreligious activity. That's not the, they're missing the point. That is nonsense. But the activities of the devotees of the Lord are also very extraordinary in their relationship with the personality of God. And the common people, they find it very difficult to fathom, to understand, although it's very mystical and appreciative and attractive. I was just reading one very nice book, the Radha Damodar Vilas, and there's a nice little section there in a few pages that were describing how Vishnujan Swami would set up his festival. And I remember one time being with their party in Phoenix. At the time, it was the base for the buses. And buses would go there, and they would get regularly repaired. So we drove with the bus from Dallas to Phoenix and stayed there for a few days, and I went out to the campus, ASU, with Maharaj and his display. And it was so transcendental. Hasigrami and Shridhar and so many other devotees were playing instruments along with Maharaj, and it was so mystical that people couldn't. They were just mesmerized, very attractive. So similarly, again, the common people they can't fully appreciate. They're actually perplexed, as Prabhupada points out here. How the devotees of the Lord can engage in a devotional service, or how they can be so fearless, for that matter. But Prabhupada points out here that a devotee cannot execute the order of anyone except the Supreme, because again, Narayana Parak Sarve, their only interest is to be engaged in a devotional service. They're not engaged in any kind of business relationship. In the material world, people are mainly interested in business. And when something goes wrong, it's usually, again, because the business deal is shaky. All right? We're not getting enough money. We're not getting enough comfort, or not getting enough gratification, not enough return. So that's material life. But in the spiritual realm, in spiritual activity, it's not a business arrangement. The devotees are totally dependent on the personality of Godhead. And therefore, they have no interest in fulfilling any other orders. We're not interested in somebody else's agenda or plan or whatever. But we're only interested in, as Prabhupada points out here, executing the order of the personality of Godhead. And his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, the non-different. This is the position of a devotee. Hiranyakashipu could understand that this boy must have been very powerful. And otherwise, how could he challenge his authority, not be disturbed by it? There's a very nice statement by Lord Kapila to Devahuti that the sadhus, they do not suffer any material miseries because their thoughts are filled with the pastimes and activities of the Lord. So, because the, again, Prahlad here is such a wonderful example. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, within our own experience, these great exalted personalities, because their thoughts are fully absorbed in the pastimes and activities of the personality of Godhead, they have no fear in dealing with this material world, whether it's preaching or spreading Krishna consciousness, or even using whatever facility Krishna may provide. Sometimes we may again become fearful that or hesitant. But when one is firmly situated in Krishna consciousness, there's no fear. Just as here, Prahlad is exhibiting that. Very wonderful pastime. Anyway, those are just some thoughts. Any questions or comments? Yes.
It seems the idea is that between a pure devotee and Krishna, there is an incredible relationship that nobody else can understand.
No, it's not that they can't understand. Prabhupada doesn't say that. He says that that relation is extremely relishable.
Realm, we can't understand.
For the common person, yeah, because there's so much on the bodily concept of life, it's very difficult for them to understand spiritual relationships and the activities of spiritually advanced persons.
So wouldn't it seem that we're missing a step here, that in the material world we should be engaging in spiritual relationships with each other before we try to have a relationship with the Lord?
We're missing a step because we're not connected to Krishna. That's a fact. We're missing a step.
But before we get connected to Krishna, shouldn't we be connected to each other in spirit?
First of all, you have to understand who you are. Our first connection is that we're servant and part and parcel of Krishna. That's who we are. We're first of all part and parcel of Krishna. You can't have any relationship with anybody else until you first understand what is your relationship with the Absolute Truth.
Well, it seems to me that if you're trying to have a relationship with the Almighty and you can't have a relationship with your brother spiritually,
that happens.
That happens.
As we develop our relationship with the personality of Godhead, all other relationships manifest. They do happen. We recognize No, that's backwards. You're going backwards. I think you're confused. Archita Prabhu.
Yeah, it's just like, how do you know who your brother is? You have to know who your father is. Because you know that you both have the same father, and you say, this is my brother. So when you recognize God as your father, and the other person also recognizes God, then immediately you have a brother relationship. If you don't recognize the father, there's no question of brother.
It doesn't matter if you recognize the Krishna or not. We are all here brothers and sisters.
That's your opinion. But that's not what Krishna says. Krishna says, first you have to accept me. Vita, Hase, Shavita. I am the father of the entire universe.
So an exquisite relationship between a pure devotee and Krishna can be immediately jumped into from the material world without first developing a spiritual relationship with a brother or sister in the material world. That seems backwards to me.
That's not Krishna's opinion. Yes, sir. Yeah, Prabhupada gives the Vedic literatures give the example of the tree. We can try to water each leaf, each branch, each flower, just like we can try and go out into the world and we can try and connect with this person, that person. It's unlimited. We'll go on and on and on and on, and forever, and never really understand if we're actually satisfying the root. Better that you first water the root of the tree. Try to understand your relationship with that, with the Absolute Truth. And by satisfying Him, you satisfy all others, all other aspects, all other branches and fruits and flowers of that tree. So again, it's actually backwards if we're thinking we can set up societies and clubs and institutions. Let's help this group, that group. Let's help everybody. We're all brothers. But you're still white. I'm black. You're this, you're that. We have to go beyond that. And that comes by understanding who we are, and that is Jivara Surupoi Krishner Nityadas. We're eternally spirit souls in relationship to Krishna. And then from there you can expand your consciousness to helping the rest of the world, helping society. And Prabhupada is the perfect example of that. Not doing the right thing. It's commendable. It's commendable, that's for sure. It's
our process is a training process. So we're training ourselves to know how to deal with that brother, with that sister, with the higher authorities, and the higher authorities, they also know how to relate with the lower one and what happened in each other in that way.
Yeah, it's commendable that, you know, United Nations, this, that, and this group and that group, old folks home, and, you know, everybody's trying to help each other. That's okay. But if Krishna's not there, then it's all a waste of time. You're going the long route. Instead of trying to fly directly to New York City, you're hitchhiking from here to Seattle, down to Tijuana, you're going all over the place. Prabhu?
God connection is the prime necessity. When you learn how to be connected to Krishna, not directly, we don't jump over. We have to go through the discipline, the succession. You keep saying directly. That's not our process to connect with God directly. Our process is to connect with God through the disciplic succession.
Through the liberated souls.
And when we do that properly, then all other relationships work out. Your relationship with your parents become perfect, with your friends, with your God brothers, with everybody becomes perfect. And McGrory, again, is the example. Once he became a devotee, he was in the right consciousness towards every living entity, not just brothers and sisters, but ants, everybody, because he saw them as connected to Krishna.
Krishna explains that Vidyavinaya Sampane, that the spiritually advanced person sees with equal vision. But you have to become spiritually advanced. Understand who you are first, and then you can help and connect with others. Savasprabhu.
Nice class, I think. Prabhupada gives the example also that everybody's born into this world a fool. That's why we go to school. In other words, when a child is 5 years old, they send the child to school to learn. So even in spiritual life, we're actually a fool till we meet a pure devotee of the Lord who can impart knowledge unto us. Then we understand the real principle of brotherhood, sisterhood, of interaction in the material world. Otherwise, we're simply fools. Until we meet such a person who can open our eyes with a torchlight of knowledge, we're simply fools. And fools do all kinds of nonsense things. They think they're really happy. They think this is the course of life they should take. But it's simply foolishness. It's like an adult who sees a child doing crazy things. The child, you know, is doing this, doing that, acting foolish, speaking nonsense. You know, the parent simply just tolerates it. But eventually the parent makes the child go to school so they can understand properly and learn. So this is also life, until you meet a genuine teacher, a pure devotee, an acharya of the Lord.
Do you believe that there's a world of fools here? Or does this Krishna
You're missing a big part of that story. He actually heard from a teacher. You're missing. You don't know the whole story.
So Krishna doesn't permit endowed spirits in this world and placing them here.
Even Lord Krishna went to Gurukula. He had a teacher. He went to Gurukula himself to set the standard.
That's why we're here. We're all here in school. We're in class today. We're hearing from the liberated soul. Bottom line is, you can't help anybody until you're cured yourself. Doctor can't help anyone until he's himself healthy. So we'll chant Hare Krishna and get healthy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.